You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry.
Polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
And there you are.
Cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around, nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around, nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
there, Steven.
Ah, yes.
Hey, everybody. It's us, Nowhere in Mulberry, live on Talk Radio X. Thank you for listening. Our second ever live show, and we're fighting through it. Fight the proverbial power, right, Steven? Steven, the pop culture zealot, is here to my left. How are you doing, Steven?
Doing great.
People may think this is phony, but you are actually to my left. That is not a lie.
Not a lie.
If I were to turn this way, you would be to my right.
True.
Very true. Awesome. See, if this was a vidcast, you would be able to see that. And wow. Yes. Hey, Bill.
Hey.
Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm excellent.
We are live on Talk Radio X.
Yes, we're also the best around.
Yes, we are. It is, not to toot our own horn. Did I say toot? Oh, dear. I didn't want to work like that. No toilet humor.
No blue. Don't talk blue.
Yes. It is August 31st, 2007, episode 91. Thank you for joining us. It has been an incredible week, hasn't it, Bill?
It has. When is the old guy on the Today Show going to announce our birthdays? Is that in like a couple more years? Whenever we reach,
it's like about 90 years.
Oh, okay. Since we're at episode 91, I was thinking maybe he would say, "Hey, look, Nowhere in Mulberry."
If you want to see some of the most uncomfortable live television, watch that Smucker's sponsored old people thing, because not only, hey, we got Susan somebody in the audience, she's 400 years old, she's like, ah!
And she looks great.
How do you feel today?
And she can't talk, she doesn't know she's on the air. And one thing about that show is everyone's holding their signs of where they're from. Hey, shout out. It's like, are you not the most pathetic person on the planet? No one gives a shit where you're from, what you represent. Just get the hell off my TV. One of my favorite clips, you can find it like on YouTube and stuff, is when they're painting the audience. There's a lady who's flashing the camera.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Genius. I love it. Now, the reason this is a special week is because for the first time ever, I took my three-year-old daughter, my wife and I took our three-year-old daughter, to her first ever film, first ever movie. And what do you guys think it was? There aren't any Pixar movies in the theater. Ratatouille's come and gone. What could I have taken her to? Certainly not Underdog. That piece of crap. I'm not going to take her to
that. How is Ratatouille gone, yet Underdog is still there?
Yeah, I have no idea. But you know what? We took her to see the Simpsons film, the Simpsons movie, and it was awesome.
You loved it,
and that was that age appropriate?
You know what? She liked it. We were the only ones in the theater, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and
that had to be great.
She sat in every chair on the top row, and she would work her way down 1, 2, 3, 4, and she'd go past us and go to the other one. And then she'd work her way back. Oh, there she is again. Okay, she's going back the other way. And it would just go back and forth through the whole movie.
That had to be fun.
We had to load her up on M&Ms, had to load her up on popcorn and Sprite, but she made it through it. And by the way, she doesn't call it the Simpsons movie. It's Spider Pig. That's the name of the movie.
I thought she'd call it Harry Plopper.
Yeah. But you know what? The Simpsons movie was pretty funny. It was good stuff.
Yeah. It's there's some really funny moments, but it's a little dated. Like, there's jokes that maybe would have worked better 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was better than, say, the last, what, 5 seasons of The Simpsons?
Oh, definitely. I think they hired all the writers that left to write the movie.
Well, you know the part where Homer is in Alaska and he plays the video game Grand Theft Walrus? That was a little bit of a dated joke, a Grand Theft Auto joke, but it was still funny.
Also, wasn't there a Titanic joke?
Yes, there was, with Green Day.
Yeah.
It was still funny, I laughed, but that, you know, that was only part of our week. My wife was on vacation, so we hit everything. And the other thing, Star Wars The Experience, was at the local museum, Steven.
I've seen that advertised, I've been wondering about it myself.
Props
was
to the Star Wars
experience?
Movie. Yeah, first of all, it was $20 per person,
wow.
Plus $15 for my three-year-old daughter. So,
wow.
George Lucas, hey, you got more of my money. You happy?
Yes.
You son of a bitch.
could have bought illicit, you know, favors.
You know
for
what's
that
funny is
money.
My wife asked the lady. She goes, "How long is this tour of all the stuff?" She goes, "Oh, it'll take you like 2 hours to get through there. 20 minutes."
Oh,
like take
sucks.
A picture. Oh, there's the Millennium Falcon. Awesome. Let's take 10 pictures of that. There's the X-Wing. Oh, yeah. There's the Blockade Runner. Oh, look. Here's a case with Jar Jar Binks. No, they didn't have them there. I was really disappointed by that.
They didn't have the big like green outline of him.
Yeah.
But, it was $1 a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter, she dug it too. It was funny. They had some Wookiees in a case. She goes, "Chewies." So there's multiple Chewies. But the coolest thing, Bill, they had like a weapons case with all the different weapons.
Yeah.
That was by far, that was me like, awesome, I'm totally like dork. I'm sure there are people like, why is that guy taking so many pictures of those space guns over there? What a dork. Oh,
you
people. Oh, there's
people
Boba Fett's rifle.
You didn't play Star Wars Galaxies. You don't understand.
Yeah, and guess what is at the end of the hall? When the exhibit's over, guess what they have there? A Star Wars gift shop. With everything you could think of, overpriced. And, of course, you know, we have to get our Star Wars magnets, Empire Strikes Back magnet. We had to get our Ewok keychain. But, you know what? It was a lot of fun. It was cool to see that stuff up close, especially the Millennium Falcon. That is, they're impressive models.
How big was the model?
It was about yay big, I would say, for people listening on
that's
the radio. Damn,
that's what I'm asking for.
It's about
3 foot by 5 foot.
Steven, you've stumped me there. I don't know. Oh, I got it. It's about the size of a beanbag.
Cool.
Chair.
A papasan chair. How's that?
A papasan.
I got nothing. I got nothing.
About 3 foot by 4 foot.
Right. Hey, good, Steven. You weren't even there, but you got you nailed it, man.
Half the sizes in my head.
You nailed the size. Now, that was an exciting
good
week.
With sizes.
I saw my wife and I, we went to a sneak preview to a film that doesn't come out till September 21st. And it was
awesome.
Very exciting. They made sure our cell phones were off, no cell phones. They made sure we didn't have video cameras. And I was like, wow,
they don't want
man.
This sneaking out.
They don't
this
want
gold.
Any spoilers. And what are you thinking that we went to see, Steven? It must have been something pretty good, huh? What do you
the
think?
The Kingdom.
It has to be something awesome. I don't know.
No, not The Kingdom, Bill. It's something better. It's the new Amanda Bynes flick called Sydney
Lucky
White.
Bastard.
Yes, I know. Everyone's really jealous of me right now. Essentially what it is, it's a retelling of Snow White done on a college campus. And instead of seven dwarves, it's seven dorks.
Oh, my God.
And you know what you could say about it? Hey, you know, it's for teenagers, but it's a really safe film. There's no profanity. And you know what? I'm going to say it was a charming little gem, Steven. And that Amanda Bynes
doesn't really hold to the college theme.
Right.
It was a highly polished turd.
There was one scene of a beer bong, but that's as far as they got. There was no pot or anything like that. But
unrealistic is what you're telling me.
No. It could
there
be.
There was no Jaeger or.
It could be Brigham Young University or something. They don't party in Utah, do they, Steven?
Yeah.
I guess it was. It's in a fictional world, all right? It's a Disney's college on. The Magic Kingdom. I got nothing.
They don't party after midnight in Utah, but they party.
You're wrong about that, Bill.
Bill, Steven just got back from there, and he knows.
I thought the town would roll up at like 10 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the evening. And first time I went, I was stayed downtown right next to the Temple Square.
Ooh,
Temple
Square. Sounds quaint.
Oh, yeah. And they were giving carriage rides at midnight still.
Wow.
I mean, people were roaming the streets. It was crazy.
So how about it, Stephen? Are you a Latter-day Saint now? Did they convert you?
I'm going to be a part of every religion I can be a part of.
That's nice. You just sample what you...
I'm the Scientologist.
Almost like a religious buffet.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, I don't want these croutons, but I will take these bean sprouts.
Maybe that, one crouton.
Yeah.
That Buddhism's looking tasty.
Yeah. Mmm. Hey, pass on over those Jehovah's Witnesses. Mmm. Pile it on. Hey, some
Hinduism. I love Ganesh.
Let me sprinkle some thetans on my salad.
Sprinkled lightly with thetans.
So anyway, Sydney White, it comes out on the 21st. I've already seen it, and it was a great film, I got to say. Amanda Bynes, she's adorable.
Are you going to send a review to Ain't It Cool News?
You know what? I should. Special spoilers. I'm going to spoil it for all of you guys. But no, it was a lot of fun, and I loved. It was fun seeing that movie with my wife, and we had a good time. Nothing.
Nice little date movie for you and your wife.
Well, we could see in front of us. There was like a father and his two kids. He had his son and his daughter. And there's parts that are really obvious in the film. Like, for instance, Amanda Bynes' mother is now passed on. And her dad's played by one of the Duke boys, John Schneider, from Smallville. He's great as her dad, by the way. Pretty much exactly the way he is in Smallville. And you know what? He's always working on things like tractors. Anyway. But he's not been typecast. Don't say it, Steven. So,
if he was typecast, he'd still be driving an orange car.
Yeah. So there's a part, she's at a desk, and she sees her mother, a name there, and it's obviously her mother, who went to the same college as her, and we hear the dad go, "That's her. That's her mom's name." And she's like, "Oh." It's just like, "Hey, congratulations! You figured it out, did you?" But it's really sad when you're in a movie. You know, Steven and I tell Steven that I want to beat people. When you're in a theater and you see trailers and, like, the new Ben Stiller flick, and there's this new Dane Cook, Jessica Alba movie, where there's pratfalls.
For no reason.
Yeah, for no reason. Like, Jessica
just
Alba,
she's so
gorgeous, but she's clumsy. She walks into a pole. Cling.
And, she walks into a pole?
Yeah, and the thing that bothers me is that the whole audience in the theater goes, "Ooh."
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, she really got nailed in her head. No, she didn't. It's not a real pole.
So those are the people that go see those movies.
Yeah, ping. Ooh, damn, he got wrecked. You see Ben Stiller? Dog, I'm going to go see that flick. Yeah.
Did you hear, like, the whispering after where people were like, "Oh, yeah, that looks really funny. We're going to have to see
that."
Yeah.
He ought to see a doctor. His testicles are bruised.
Heard that after God damn. I can never think of it.
I like that scene. Daddy,
when I can't remember something, I just kind of stammer and try to find my way around it. Steven,
all right, Steven, let's play a game. Give us clues.
Come on, we play clips from him all the time. The Chris Tucker movies.
Oh, Rush Hour.
Rush Hour 3.
Right.
And everybody's like, "Ooh, yeah."
Yeah.
Just ready.
I can't wait. I love those movies.
Oh, Jackie Chan, I bet he really got hurt. Let's wait till the credits and see if he did.
That Chinaman's so funny.
Now, Bill, let's go ahead and move on to there's the new fall lineup of television that's starting very soon. I don't know when the first premiere of these shows are, but there are some that, hey, I'm going to check them out. They look like they could be pretty good, right?
Yeah, sure.
And some of them, like the Caveman sitcom for ABC,
oh my God.
What the hell are they thinking?
Not only does that look horrible, but the makeup is so bad. Is it supposed to be that bad? Are they
I don't know.
And who sat there and watched a Geico commercial and went, "You know what, that's hilarious.
That's a show. That's a show to happen."
Yeah.
So go ahead and go over. Start with the network, and we'll see what shows we think look good.
Well, let's start at the top of the week. Sunday nights on ABC, it's pretty standard. They're keeping all their shows, America's Funniest Home Videos, Extreme Home Makeover, you know, all that crap. The new shows that come up on Sunday nights are Viva Laughlin, which I've seen commercials of. It looks like what's his name is in it from
Hugh Jackman.
From The Prestige and all those. What's his name?
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. He's in that for, like, an episode? I don't know.
Yeah. Wolverine is singing and dancing. We know that's his first love. Not Wolverine. He loves the Tonys.
I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, I've seen that.
He loves being on stage.
That'll last.
Yeah, and he's heterosexual?
Yeah, he's got a wife and everything.
I think it's a beard. And CW's trying to. Yeah, he might be. CW's trying some new stuff with, like, teen-oriented news.
All right.
Like, yeah, CW Now and online.
Hey, what board? Board meeting came up with that crap. We need to appeal to the teenagers.
Well, you know, that's hard for them now because they moved like Monday Night Football. It's now the national network is. football is on NBC on Sunday night, so they can't really put anything big up against it.
Hey, they have Jensen Ackles. What do they want? They've won the teen audience there, haven't they? Have you seen that guy? He's dreaming.
I don't know who he is.
You know Jensen Ackles
I don't know him. No.
He's on Supernatural. At the end of every episode of Smallville, Steven, you hear, yo, hey, sup, yo. Jensen Ackles, stay tuned. My show's coming up next. Only if you won. I don't give a crap. And then it comes It's really awesome.
We're going to fight some Supernatural crap.
Supernatural crap. I'm going to get some ectoplasm on my face. Tune in.
I think we're going to be in a graveyard during the show.
Whatever. I didn't even read the script.
No, man. I don't need to read this script.
Scripts are stupid.
It's all going to be shot
just
at
watch
night.
My show,
it's all dark
loser.
And stuff.
Yeah, he's so cynical, that Jensen Ackles.
What is an Ackles?
I don't know. So what do we got, Bill? What other shows?
Monday nights, we have Dancing with the Stars, which I watched last year and kind of enjoyed, but this year the cast is pathetic. I mean, even I didn't think it could get worse, but it has.
Hey, they've got Jenny Garth. She's going to be on there. Kelly from 90210.
Yeah, and some Wayne Newton with his
wow.
You know, about one more facelift away from being the Bride of Wildenstein.
Wayne Newton in his Nerf wig. What the hell is that?
Why would you ever go to a person and say, hey, I want like a fro wig?
Hey, could you cut a hole out for my head on this Nerf football? It doesn't even look real.
Put some lines in it it looks like hair.
That's just the football stitching. That's not a part in his head.
Yeah, you may think I have hair implants, but it's actually just the football stitching. And after Dancing with the Stars, there's a new show called Samantha Who with, what's her name, Christina Applegate.
Yeah, this is the show that's had like three name changes, I believe.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
And, Christina Applegate. You know what? I'll watch it once, but I'm not excited about sitcoms premiering. I'm excited about the hour-long
dramas.
Shows. Yeah, sci-fi
kind
shows,
dramas.
Yeah.
Drama-ish.
Yeah. And let's see how long it lasts. There's 13 episodes ordered, and they have a spot there for The Bachelor. So,
six episodes down.
Yeah, and CBS added a new show called The Big Bang Theory with that girl from Eight Simple Rules for Dating John.
Oh, yeah, Kelly Cuoco.
Kelly Cuoco.
I can't tell if
Johnny
that's going to be funny or not.
The kid from Roseanne. CW has a show called Aliens in America, which is a half-hour show that I have no idea what it's about. Fox has something called K-ville.
Something about New Orleans. The
yeah,
cops
that's with
in
Cole
Orleans.
Hauser in the...
Oh.
You know, that show doesn't look bad.
It depends on how they do it.
Well, wait a second. It's on Fox, so cancel.
Yeah.
If it's good,
yeah,
it'll
how
be
long
canceled.
Is that gonna be?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it may be a good show, but it's on Fox. It'll get bad ratings. It'll be gone after maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah, if it's good, it'll get canceled though. For them.
Yeah, and it's a writer from NYPD Blue that is writing this show.
Oh,
yeah.
That shouldn't be too bad.
NBC has Chuck, which they have been plugging constantly.
You know what? I'll check it out. It may be funny. It's got the hot blonde chick, right, Bill? You'll see it for that.
Yeah, I don't see why not. But it's also got the guy from Firefly, Adam Baldwin.
Really?
Yeah, he's one of the agents in
there. It's got Jane on the show?
Yeah. Oh, you know what?
You brown coat fan.
I guess this guy works at like a like that fire dog that they have at like Circuit City, and they have the geek squad at Best Buy. Well, I guess he works at the Nerd Herd. Wonder where they got that from.
Yeah, what is that about the Nerd Herd? I saw that and I was like, it's kind of... Big Brother fans.
Yeah, that's just a little unoriginal. That's all. And also, you know, that Monday night it has Chuck at 8, Heroes at 9, and then Journeyman at 10 p.m.
Journeyman! This is a guy who loves Steve Perry. I can't believe
that was
a
guy
a
who's always constantly in training for
something. Yeah. Journeyman!
And I guess
he doesn't have a car, is what it is, Steven. He loves to hike.
I guess he's like the new Doctor Who for NBC, where he jumps around in future.
Well, I've heard some people say, so this is like the new Quantum Leap, but what I've read about it is he leaps to other times, but he's in the same spot he is on Earth. So if he goes back 20 years, but he's still sitting in the same exact spot he would be. Like, if he's in his living room, he's in his living room 20 years ago. So at least he doesn't
what if
like...
What it wasn't a living room 20 years?
Well, yeah, it could be
what
a field
if it was
in the middle
of nowhere.
Of
a... brick wall.
A T-Rex is standing there, and he's like, oh, shit. And it's like, that's a great show.
That's really deep, Steven. We might have to watch the show now.
Yeah, Steven, you sold us.
Yeah.
See there? I help.
What if it's not his living room?
Wow. You just blew my mind. So what other... you got to get to the NBC show.
I went to my living room yesterday.
Yeah. You got to get to the... Stop doing that, Steven. You're telling yourself that as you go back in time. So anyway,
let's move on to Tuesday.
This has gone in a weird place.
Tuesday, we have the premiere of Cavemen at 8 p.m. and Carpoolers at 8:30 p.m., which
Yikes.
Looks horrible.
Hey, wow. Carpoolers, is that the show with Jerry O'Connell?
We'll call that Hour of the Dead Zone.
Good Sliders. One, Stephen.
Thank you.
You're on the top of your game.
It's just
tonight.
Like this pocket of time that doesn't exist.
Yeah, just before Dancing with the Stars.
Hey, that's a good lead-in, though.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'll tune into Cavemen, then I'll watch that dancing show.
All the postmenopausal women will love that. Then on CBS, we have Kane premiering at 10 p.m. That's the Jimmy Smits Sugar Kane.
Canceled. Canceled.
Yeah, I don't see that lasting long. The CW has Kevin Smith's Reaper coming up at 9 p.m. on Tuesday nights.
I will check it out, but you know what? They recast the chick role in that for Missy Peregrim from Heroes.
The
chick who I could not stand her acting ability on Heroes. Remember, she could create the illusions?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's horrible.
She's not a good actress.
That's why they put her in that spot, because... They brought in the other actors.
Yeah, how would you like to be the actor she replaced? We're firing you. We're bringing in Missy Peregrine. She sucks. What? Sorry. Why don't you go to Heroes?
She acts like she's actually reading the script on camera.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god.
I think
god.
She is. They have friggin' cue cards taped to the
She was the
wall.
Same way in that Stick It movie that she did, but because she was wearing a unitard, I didn't mind.
Well, maybe she'll wear a unitard on Reaper.
Yeah, maybe. It just looks, I don't know, I'll give Reaper a chance, but it just looks stupid to me.
Wow. Okay.
That's just my opinion. Wednesday, ABC has three new shows, Pushing Daisies.
Oh, hey, buzz. Bzzz. All you hear is Pushing Daisies this, Pushing Daisies that. Oh, it's going to be a great show. It's the guy who created Dead Like Me. And I got to say, I just hope that it has the theme, Pushing Little Daisies and Make Them Come Up. Pushing Little Daisies. Remember that song?
Was that Ween?
Yeah, what if that Ween. Was the theme and it lasts like 3 minutes? It's like, oh my God, pull this show off the air. No one could sit through the theme song.
I would rip my ears off and stick them in the holes.
Yeah.
First time Jason did that, I almost spit.
I think you did spit. We were at the theaters. The guy in front of us was like, hey. But this show is about a guy who could touch dead people and they come back for, what, a minute?
Well, they come back alive until he touches them again.
I thought they would just die after a minute.
Yeah.
Well, he said... Well, I heard the lady on there was like, you touch them and then you touch them again and they die.
Right. Oh, no, I know what it is. If he doesn't touch them, they don't die, but someone else somewhere else dies, just drops dead, which is kind of interesting.
So he has to touch them twice. He's killing.
Yeah, well, and actually he brought back the woman he loves, but he can't ever touch her again because she'll drop dead.
How about if he just touches himself?
That well, works.
That part of him dies.
Yes.
Okay, good. Just a little then bit. The show can be over.
Part of him dies.
Part of me died. And then after Pushing Daisies, we have the new spinoff from Grey's Anatomy, Private Practice. That'll last 3 episodes.
Yeah, canceled.
Yeah, the over-under
on that. Tim Daly's
on
it. Canceled. The show killer, Tim Daly.
And then Dirty Sexy Money, which
best
I have seen advertised
name.
Everywhere.
That's with Peter Krause, right?
Peter Krause.
From 6 Feet Under. You know what? Yeah. I'm going to watch it. Looks good.
I think it's got Donald Sutherland in it, too.
Yes. Oh, sorry. This is my Body Snatchers impression.
Best last scene in a movie ever.
it is. That is.
CBS has Kid Nation, which looks so
canceled.
It does. I'm gonna have to tune in. This looks so bad.
Well, there's some kind of lawsuit thing going on right now about this show. And has it even aired yet?
No, it hasn't.
Child endangerment issues or something?
Well, then the people shouldn't have signed the contracts and sent their kids.
It's like, I mean, they're never in complete danger because there's people watching them at
right.
all times.
Yeah, what about the cameramen and the sound guys
well,
and the production
they could, have you seen the Teamsters, man? They could be perverts or something.
Could be. I'm not saying anything bad
hey,
about
Steven,
Teamsters.
You,
not at all.
You don't want to go there.
Yeah, you don't want to upset the Teamsters. I think the show on before us were Teamsters.
Steven's going to end up dead one weekend.
Yeah. Steven, nice cement shoes you got there.
Hey, I'm just a little soggy. I waddled my way out.
You waddled your way out. Okay, so...
And for the record, I love Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, God. The CW has a show called Gossip Girl, where I guess she's...
Like, oh, my God, Bill.
I guess she's a gossip girl.
Well, here's the thing. Kristen Bell does a narration on the show, but she's not on the show. Huh?
What?
She's not on the show, but she does the narration.
Well, if it's supposed to be that girl just grown up.
Is she like, what is she? Like God on the show and she's talking about
it? Maybe she's like the dead friend.
Oh,
in the gossip,
she's
in the gossip girl
the school?
Has to. Yeah, the gossip girl has to find out who killed her. Maybe.
Hey, you're making the show interesting. It's from the creator of the OC, Josh
Schwartz. Yeah, I
Schwartz.
Saw that.
Josh Schwartz.
Sold.
Hey, yeah.
TiVo'd.
Yeah. Fox has Till Death, which is, of course, that Brad Garrett show that's unwatchable. And,
that got renewed?
Yeah. And the show I'm looking forward to, because I absolutely loved the British series, Kitchen Nightmares with Gordon Ramsay.
Yes.
Where he,
I'm looking forward to this one.
He goes around to, like, piece-of-crap restaurants and tries to turn them around. And it's always interesting. There's been 3 seasons of it so far in the UK, which are all really – it's really good show. And I don't know how well this is going to work because he's going to be swearing constantly.
Over-dramatized maybe. They'll definitely overscored with music.
definitely.
The British series isn't like that at all. Not at all. It's so I'm wondering what they're going to do with the American. Are they going to Americanize it?
Right.
And make it like you have to have ADD to watch it.
Now, what about, am I jumping the gun if I say The Bionic Woman?
No, Bionic Woman's on NBC Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m.
You know what? Just based on the clips I've seen and who is in charge of the show, David Icke from BSG and also the head writer, Jason Smilovic from a much too soon canceled show, Kidnapped. I expect it to be a pretty decent show.
Well, you know what's funny? Every commercial I see for it, she's jumping across buildings.
Right.
It's I guess maybe they think that's really entertaining.
They're like, ah, you're supposed to go, whoa, she can jump real far. Doesn't she own a car? Is there a subway system,
no.
Mass transit?
And it's only a half-hour show.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Bionic Woman's not an hour long?
No, it says it's a half-hour show. It starts at 9:30, and then at 10, that new show with the guy from Band of Brothers, Life, comes
on. Is that
on
a 30-minute show, too?
No, that's an hour.
Bionic Woman is a 30-minute show because you just blown my mind.
That's what it says here. I'm sitcom? It may be wrong. It may be wrong.
It's got to be wrong. That's crazy. That'd be crazy, Bill.
I am trying to get a confirmation, sir.
Oh, it's okay, Bill. What about the new Terminator show? Is that a mid-season replacement, or is that come on?
Yeah, that doesn't come on yet. That's a mid-season replacement. You know, but I'm interested in this show, Life. It just looks good.
Right, like it has the red-headed Band of Brothers dude.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. I'm sorry, guy, whatever your name is.
Yeah, red-headed dude from Band of Brothers. Colonel Winters, yeah, that's his name.
He did a movie called Keen that was really good. It was a Steven Soderbergh-produced film where his daughter's kidnapped and he basically goes insane. And he's a good actor, so I'm
He was the best thing about that piece of crap Lawrence Kasdan Stephen King movie, Dreamcatcher.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I couldn't sit through it, man. I did sit through it, but I was like, man, this is a train wreck. I done it.
Oh,
it's like, yeah, whatever, dude. You're done it. All right, I get it.
I don't even know how, like, Lawrence Kasdan looked at that and went, that's a good movie.
Yeah, I'm going to make that. Well, that's the way Stephen voice King. Sounds.
It's Stephen King. He's going to make his money.
I'm sure if you read the book, it's like, wow, this would make a good movie, but it just didn't work.
A lot of his stuff doesn't transfer well.
Yeah. Luckily, Lawrence Kasdan's son, Jake Kasdan, turned out to be a pretty damn good director.
Right. I believe I'm seeing now that Bionic Woman is an hour-long drama, Bill.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing right now, too.
So that's a typo, and we need to write the editor of that site.
Yes. Thursdays, ABC's premiered a new show, Big Shots. With Christopher Titus and those other losers.
Oh, Michael Vartan from Alias.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Mike. canceled.
Yeah. This looks bad. Like, real bad.
Oh, Damian Lewis is his name. Thank you, Andy, from the Hollywood Saloon. He helped us with that. Working in our newsroom now.
Yes. In the background, you can. Yeah, there you go.
We have our spot checkers in the chat room. Hey, shout out to the chat room, nimchat.com. Thanks, guys.
Friday nights, we have ABC with The Woman's Murder Club, which has that really kind of androgynous lady, Angie Harmon, that was on. She was on Law & Order. She had that really husky voice.
Yeah, like she's got a real husky voice. You know, the first thing I ever saw her on was Baywatch Nights.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Wow, that's a step up. But she has a voice like this.
Aren't I sexy? Dude, I think you're a dude. Why don't you go marry Jason Seahorn or something?
There's a reason why I don't cross my legs. and then CBS has Moonlight, that vampire series.
Ah, yes, that's the name of it. Moonlight, it's a vampire dude, and it's got Logan Eccles from Veronica Mars on the show.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, then I'm not going to watch then.
Oh, okay.
Fox has a show called Nashville, which is from the creative minds behind Laguna Beach, the real Orange County. So, obviously, this is a fake kind of soap opera that's staged as a documentary about people that want to become famous in Nashville. So, there you go. Wow.
I'm going to skip it. All right, Bill, quickly, let's wrap this up. Pick the shows that you think are most likely to succeed. Boom.
This is going to be tough because I don't see many. Bionic Woman might have a chance.
Yeah, they really got to change it to an hour, though.
I'm gonna hold. Yeah, I'm gonna shut up. Hey, it isn't my fault, Dick.
Oh my god.
So Chuck might have a chance being the lead into Heroes, but I really don't see anything that like grabs me and says this is going to be a great show. This
I
is going to
so
last.
I'm so sorry, Bill.
Blow it out your ass.
Now, let's the the Terminator show, I have no idea. The clips of it look interesting. I don't know how it'll work. It may give you a headache thinking about how this fits into the movie timeline. Maybe you're just supposed to ignore that.
Yeah.
Pretend it doesn't exist and this is a whole new story. Because, first of all, it has River from Firefly in it.
Summer Glau.
Summer Glau.
Glau.
Let's see. I'm going to watch the Brian Krause show, Dirty, Sexy, Filthy Money on ABC. I'm going to watch The Bionic Lady. I'm going to watch The Terminator Show. And
The Fall Guy.
Caveman.
And I got my peanuts. I'm going to watch The Jericho when it comes back mid-season. Hell yeah.
Yeah. How did they pull that off?
Hell yes, Jerichotes. Be sure you watch.
Nuts.
Yes. Mysterious Black Man. Yes. All right, that's some stuff for everyone to think about. Watch Gossip Girl. Let's go ahead and check out some voicemail. What do you say? Let's do it.
Citizens of Mulberry, what's going on? It's Rick from Fort Worth. I just wanted to give you my thoughts on Who Wants to Be a Superhero from last night. Is it me, or was Parthenon wearing a name tag when he got transformed back to his normal non-superhero self? And if so, does that mean that he was going straight over to work after the show?
I think so. Sure.
You know, just wanted to throw that out for you guys. Otherwise, love what you're doing. Love the show. And by the way, I think Eugene finally abducted Vanessa and they ran off and got married in Vegas. I think that's where she is in.
I think you're right.
Yeah, take care.
Now, it's funny, right when they showed his name tag, we'll talk about Who Wants to Be a Superhero later, but didn't you say, Steven?
I thought he was a concierge.
Like, is he working at a hotel? He's about to clock in as soon as he...
Can I get you some towels?
My favorite part about the show is them walking down the street afterwards. They don't even get a ride home.
He probably just works at the Marriott or Motel 6. I think you're giving him more credit than he deserves.
Yeah.
I mean, that friggin' tie he was wearing with that vest over top.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, we were cracking up with that name tag. It's like, is this name tag? Is he a movie usher?
Yeah, he works at the movie theater. Can I tear your ticket, please?
So he ushered
Jason and Heather to their seats during Sidney White.
Yeah, he was like, turn off your cell phone. I'm Parthenon. I was like, okay. Like,
I used to be a superhero, but I got kicked off.
This is a lovely movie, by the way. All right, we got another voicemail. Let's check it out.
Hey, Mulberrians, it's Swiley from the Hollywood Saloon Forums. I just wanted to say you put on some great shows the past week with your two live shows, and I really look forward to hearing more of them. The rest of my call has to do with the UGG format wars. I was just thinking about it, and at the end of the day, the only differences, I think, are price and the size of the disc. Physical size, and really, it matters. You know, it matters,
size matters.
How our movies are presented, our TV shows are presented. But I think we've got two good choices, and you know, if one goes belly up, it doesn't matter all that much. It's not DVD versus DivX. You remember DivX, that stupid, destructible, self-destructive DVD rental thing that Circuit City tried to foist on us? No, neither one is one of those. So at the end of the day, we'll be okay in high definition. Anyway, those are my two cents, my points. Have a wonderful weekend.
Oh, okay.
I'll hear you on Friday, hopefully.
Bye. Yeah, so none of the movies or anything that matters. It's size and... I like that, though. He's being sarcastic.
I think we should just go back to Laserdisc. It would solve everything.
Yes, you're right.
Especially if you care about the size, because who didn't love those gigantic 12-inch platters?
I remember I had a friend who had those, and he's like, let me just flip this. I was like, you have to flip them? What? It's like a record? What the hell is that? I want to get off the couch. And I was like, obviously this technology isn't the end-all be-all, because I don't want to flip stuff.
Yeah, or the movie was spread over like two or three laser discs.
Yeah,
and you had to get up and change the disc. Like, that's how it is with Empire Strikes Back and all my laser discs of the original trilogy, where you go through one, and then you have to put the other one in to finish the 15 minutes left in the movie.
Wow.
Yeah, it was always a pain in the ass.
Well, we got one more voicemail. Let's check it out, and then we'll move on to entertainment.
Oh, no.
You didn't get that ass off because you suck. You're all faces and all going out. You're a big hit now with your live show. Well, you are losers. You can't even win an award.
Sounds like the Green Goblin.
Losers. You set out, you and your stupid saloon friends. But that crap, look at the Fireflies. I'll beat all of you. Firefly is still a hit, see?
Yes, we all bow down to Firefly Talk.
Bet he would have wanted the desk if it was signed by Vanessa.
And I don't care how many times you try. We are from the first. We will always be shining. You will always lose. So stick it up your arse. You stupid Jason and Bill and Steven. You suck, losers. You can't even... I helped win Firefly Talk. And you are not even winners. And I now make like a tree and get out of here.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Eugene. It was good to hear from him again, wasn't it?
I thought we lost him.
And you know what? He still hates us just as much as ever.
I don't know why he hates me. I love Eugene.
I know. Oh, and Bill, you forgot about New Amsterdam on Fox.
On Fox?
I have no idea what it's about. But New Amsterdam, check it out. Be there.
It's not even listed on the fall schedule. So
it's probably a mid-season
replacement.
Yeah, something like that. We'll look it up after the show. When it's too late. Let's check out entertainment. All right, Bill. Rob Zombie's Halloween. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I have.
And?
Okay. It's not John Carpenter's Halloween, that's for sure.
Oh, God. I can tell.
Like, you didn't hear the term skull effing in, John Carpenter's film.
You know
film.
What, Bill? I gotta admit that I'm too close to John Carpenter's Halloween, and I'm a huge fan of Halloween 2 as well. Like, I'm talking, like, saw Halloween 2 8 times in the theater when I was a kid. I don't know, what was I, like, 8 years old or something? I definitely shouldn't have been in the theater, but I was, and I saw it multiple times.
It was your Donald Pleasance fixation.
Yes. It had a little bit to do with Jamie Lee Curtis, but...
just a little.
Just a bit.
But I loved those films, and Michael Myers' character was so fascinating with the mask and everything. You didn't know. There was a mystery about him. He was the boogeyman. Why can't they kill him? And apparently, Rob Zombie is taking it upon himself to answer those questions in this film, right? That he's just kind of a messed up kid.
Yeah, there's like the entire first hour of it is about the...
An hour?
Yeah.
The like first hour is just about his childhood?
Yeah, like how he came to be.
Wow.
I don't know. I'll stick to John Carpenter, I think.
A whole hour on the... Is he... do you feel sorry for him? Or did they get a good child actor to play him?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they did what they could. You know, they
Macaulay
tried to make
Culkin?
Some... Yeah, right. They tried to take something that a lot of people love and make something new out of it. And I think he did a good job, but it's not the original.
Is it grungy looking?
Yeah, it is. It has that grungy look. It's
everyone's
much,
white trash.
It's much more vulgar. It's gory. The people in it just aren't very... they're not the best actors.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know. Like I said, I'm too close to the other
side. It might be... It's got to be a wait for a cable.
I
release.
Wanted to check it out to talk about it on the show, but I have a feeling I just would have been like, eh...
It's going to be a cable release for me. That I'll tell, honestly,
I couldn't handle
just,
Malcolm McDowell playing the Donald Pleasance role either.
Yeah, well, if you've seen his prior movies like The Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses, you pretty much have an idea of what this movie looks like and the feel of it.
Yeah, I saw House of a Thousand Corpses. I just didn't care for it at all.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, was it about like Sidney White, the Amanda Bynes movie?
Yeah, it was a feel-good movie, it was.
Oh, good.
Well, I got to tell you. Feel-good movie of the year.
Now, Bill, I did watch a film that I think is the best movie of the year, and that is The King of Kong.
Yes.
The documentary you talked about last season. I mean, last episode. last episode, and it's about the guy who's trying to beat Billy Mitchell's record of the highest Donkey Kong score ever. And I got to tell you, man, it is just, it's just interesting. It's so entertaining. It's so, what is it? It's so real.
It's so well done. The story is told so well.
And it's so detailed.
You really start to feel for this Steve Wiebe, who has tried everything in his life. The guy is talented.
He's extremely talented. He's extremely smart.
But he just can't catch a break.
Right. They talk about, like, overthink everything? He feels like he puts the whole weight of the world on his shoulders when he's trying to attempt something, and then he's afraid to fail, so he doesn't even go that extra bit in a way.
Yeah, it's like he was a baseball player, and he was an excellent baseball player, but then he threw out his arm.
Right.
And I can relate
to a lot of this guy's story. Yeah. A lot.
And he was a musician, and he's an excellent musician, but it just didn't work out. You know, it's sad.
Well, then there's Billy Mitchell, who's held the Donkey Kong score for 20 years, and he's got this posse of uber nerds. They're a part of this thing called Twin Galaxies Scorekeepers, where you send them your videotape if you've broken a record. Say, Steven, you're trying to break the record of Dig Dug, prop up your video camera, you film yourself, you break the record, you mail it to them. They go over it in painstaking detail.
Yeah.
They determine if you cheated or not, and then they okay it or not. Well, Steve Wiebe, he did that. He broke the record in a hilarious scene where while he's playing and about to break the record, you hear his son go, "Dad, wipe my butt! Dad! Yeah. Dad, stop playing Donkey Kong! Wipe my butt!" He's like, "Hold on! Hold on!" He's like trying to play and beat the record.
Yeah. He's trying to be real calm with his son, too, and then he just loses it. He's like, "Derek!
Derek, hold on!" It's so important. And what's funny is you realize, Bill, he can handle any kind of pressure in an arcade with people hanging over his shoulder because he's dealt with this kid needing to wipe his butt and distracting him while he's playing. So he's got
like a full-size arcade game in his house.
He's got it in his garage, and his kid is always there to distract him, and that pretty much helps him, I would say.
Yeah, it was kind of cute that he says that he needs his son around him to set his records. Like, his son is always sitting next to him playing, like, his little Game Boy while he's playing Donkey Kong. And it's such a sweet movie. It really is an underdog story. I don't see it as a comedy at all. I see it as, good triumphs over evil.
Yeah, read some reviews that have referred to it as a comedy. It's just straightforward. They're telling what happened. And, you know, I don't want to give away anything, Bill, because this movie is so special to me. I would hate to know the ending. But let's just say this. You've got to see it, especially if you were around during 80s video games. There's something that extra there if you were around in that video game, like the Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., what other games are around there? Q-Bert.
Defender.
Yeah, all of those, the top games,
Galaga,
Pac-Man.
Missile Command.
There's something that's so fascinating about this movie and the people who just, there's some people who can't let the stuff go. There was one.
They are stuck in a time warp.
Billy Mitchell's got his, I'm almost going to say his evil posse of nerds who are like keeping an eye on Steve Wiebe and everything he does, and they call him with updates.
Well, okay.
He's about to get the kill screen. Yeah, I just want to let you know.
What happens is he breaks the record, he tapes it, he sends it to Twin Galaxies, and then they won't accept it because they don't know him.
Right, guilt by association, a guy who helped him get the board to his Donkey Kong machine in his garage, happens to be an enemy of Billy Mitchell. So they're like, oh, there must be something shady going on. So they don't count it. This poor guy, which I think he met the guy on the internet.
Yeah, and what does Billy Mitchell do? He sends two of his cronies to get into this guy's house and inspect his machine and the board.
They take his machine apart and they find nothing wrong with it, but they find that guy's name on a box.
Yeah.
And so they're like very suspicious, so they decide not to count it. And they tell him, hey, if you want to break this record, you show up at, what was it, Fun Town or something?
Fun Spot.
Fun Spot, this arcade, in front of people. So he's like, okay. He shows up there. He drives. Was it in another state?
It was in Florida.
Yeah.
And he actually got on a plane so that he could prove to these people that he can play.
Yeah, and he sits there and he does it. And they're like, oh my God, Steve Wiebe, he's here, he's here. And that guy, there's this one guy, what was that guy's name, the Cume guy?
Brian Koo.
And he's just like, he's the Donkey Kong expert.
And yeah, he's like, if he goes, if Billy Mitchell's the master, I guess that would make me the apprentice.
Yeah.
Like, you are such a douchebag.
And he's like, I will play you. I will play versus you, Steve Wiebe. And he's like, all right. So they're playing, and he calls Billy Mitchell. He goes, he's got up $500,000 on his first man. I haven't had a turn yet. And he's like, he's just like the comic book dude from The Simpsons. Doesn't he sound like that?
He does.
And he's like, my first man, I died after $200,000. I'm not having my best game.
I'm telling you, the comic book guy from The Simpsons is perfectly embodied by one of the like nameless guys that just walks up and goes, that ape is quite cunning with those barrels.
They even talk about the Fun Spot Donkey Kong. They're like, some say it's haunted. The barrels do stuff. It's unpredictable. So, I mean, what are we – I don't want to tell everyone the whole movie. I just want them to see it. It's so incredible.
Yeah, it really is, and it's too bad that it's not everywhere. It should be everywhere. This is a movie that everyone should see, young, old.
I think you'll get into it.
Yeah, it's just – it's not about video games, and it's not it's about living up to your potential, being the best you can, and not letting other people get in the way of it.
Right, and not letting yourself get in the way of it. You know, you kind of, like, talk yourself out of things. You're going to go... But he decides, you know, I've quit at things in my life. Bad things have happened. I've gotten fired from jobs. I'm gonna take this till the end. I'm going to break the record. And that's what makes it so good.
Yeah, it's a really excellent film.
So we recommend that to everyone. And what do you guys say we get into? What is on our TiVos? Let's do that. Right, Bill?
Yes!
Now, we played the little Miss Carolina thing in the intro of our show, and it's pretty much hilarious. You've seen it everywhere. Everybody's been talking about it. And just to remind you guys of her comments, they asked her, many people can't identify
some percentage of
North
people.
America on the map. Can you please explain this? So why? So,
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that education, like South
I've
Africa,
never had a map,
and the Iraq,
I can't
everywhere, like
they're
such
expensive.
As, and I believe that they should. Our education
should
over here
maps.
In the U.S. should help
device,
the U.S.
So I don't really
should
need
help
a map.
South Africa. It should help the Iraq and the Asian countries. So we will be able to.
How
build
did the
up
Asian countries get in there?
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
You know what was so funny is in that clip, Mario Lopez is holding the microphone to this girl, and she's just rambling like a freaking mongoloid.
Can you picture he's like going.
He is biting his lip so hard.
He's like, oh, I can't wait to tell Zach about this.
Yeah, you can see blood trickling down his chin.
Well, what's great is I couldn't even decipher the stuff she said, but Jimmy Kimmel did, and he did it pretty good. Let's check it out.
Let's go through this if we could. Now, she says, I personally believe, this means this is not her professional, but this is a personal belief, that U.S. Americans, this is to distinguish between, from, say, Mexican Americans like Guillermo or former Attorney General Arturo Gonzalez, are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps. And that's actually true. I had a neighbor that didn't have a map. And I loaned him the map, and then he never returned it. And then I actually don't have a map. And I believe that education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq. Now, that is, of course, you know, there are a lot of Iraq impersonators out there right now. Everywhere, like such as.
Right.
And I believe that our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. I totally agree with that. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries who, as you know, have fallen way behind in education. So we will be able to build up our future for R.
So there. So, we got that all mapped out. And the worst thing
is, it actually makes a lot of sense.
She appeared on the Today Show to explain herself, and there's just such thing as digging a hole, and just you got to just leave it out there. It's on YouTube. Nothing you say can help.
It was just one of those moments when you were asked this question. I'm sure everything came at you at once.
Yes, everything did come at me at once. I was overwhelmed, and I made a mistake. Everybody makes a mistake. I'm human.
At what point, Caitlin, during the answer, did you start to think to yourself, is this making any sense?
Right when that question was asked to me, I was in complete shock, and I was just overwhelmed that I seriously think I only heard about one or two words of the actual question itself.
I give you a lot of credit for being here. You know, you could just go under the covers, but here you are sitting here to laugh at yourself. So you know what I say? Good girl. Recent polls have shown that a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is, Caitlin?
Well, personally, my friends and I, we know exactly where the United States is on our map. I don't know anyone else who doesn't. And if the statistics are correct, I believe that there should be more emphasis on geography in our education so people will learn how to read maps better.
I'm with you, Snoopy. It's a losing battle. Okay, Snoopy, calm down.
Why does she precede everything with, personally,
yeah, what the heck is that all about?
Well, personally,
because
I think people should have more maps.
Some people out there in our nation don't have maps.
I thought she was saying something about Osama bin Laden.
Well,
and Osama, he needs to give us maps because he's evil.
He stole our maps.
Some people out there in our nation have maps.
He stole our old maps so he could fly planes into those two big buildings in Texas.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so.
And that's about it. Now, there are a plethora of bad television shows on the air. And you guys believe me because we do this show every week. But
we watch a lot of them.
Do we have to watch them?
There's a new show called Celebrity Rap Star on MTV. And one of the judges is DeBrat. So that pretty much tells you, I have no idea who the celebrity contestants are because I don't pay attention to people who skateboard for a living or people who trick out cars or shit like that. But this guy who I've never heard of is rapping, and I thought he did a pretty good job. There's nothing better than a white guy rapping.
We gotta be going, do it, got it down, I'm doing it, we gotta go, we gotta blow, we gotta do the show, we gotta make this place blow up and out,
what?
Go, you know,
God.
Saying, yeah, we got it down, we gotta blow up, we gotta win, we gotta do this stuff and then dead, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh. No, I don't. Yeah. I have no idea what you're saying.
He has no idea.
We got it going, guys, next time.
No, you don't got it going.
Are you sure that isn't the girl from Miss Teen USA?
What the hell is that? What is that about it?
We gotta go, you know, blow.
I can't even make that sound on purpose.
Bling a ding sing, Ming Ching.
Are you backmasking? What is it?
Scatman Carruthers back.
What the hell is that?
That's rap scatting.
Rap scat. I love it. Oh, we got a new reality show. Rap scat. Celebrity rap scat.
You rap scat.
Mel Torme is our first guest.
Mel Torme.
God, that is so bad. One more time. What the hell?
We gotta be going. Do it. Got it down. I'm doing it. We gotta go. We gotta blow. We gotta do the show. We gotta make this.
We gotta blow what?
Now and go. You know, it's like, bro. Yeah.
Our brains out.
We gotta win. We gotta do this stuff and D and D. You know what I'm saying? Woo!
We gotta do the same.
Suicide pack, yo. Let's kill ourselves.
Next time.
Yeah.
I think he worked digging a ditch in there somewhere.
Wow.
We gotta go. We gotta blow. Zib, zib, zoo.
But there's this other show called Flipping Out. It's about the guy.
Oh, yeah.
He flips houses and he's got OCD.
Yeah, I'm a bit homosexual.
And the thing is, Steven, you have started interning for the show, right?
Yes.
And you seem to repeatedly get this guy's order wrong. Let's check it out. Not good.
You're joking me right now, right?
I said no onions. I swear to God.
You have to check the box. I mean, it's like, how many times do I have to do this?
I'll take it. I'm sorry. I said no onions. It's like somebody's with me right now. I'm not with you, buddy. I'm sorry.
Take a deep breath.
Every day, Jenny, every day. No onions. No onions. Check the box.
I will unwrap it next time. Wow. I'm sorry. I'm used to them doing a really good job.
No, we're not used to them doing a good job because I'm constantly getting onions on this when you ask for no onions. So we already established a long time ago that you have to check the order.
Okay.
You have to check the order.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I apologize again.
I don't think Steven is doing these things as a personal affront to me. I don't think he's trying to get a rise out of me. He just is not paying attention. He doesn't view this work as important. And the fact is, ordering my lunch without onions is important. It's very important.
Worlds will die.
Innocents! Millions of innocents will die! A tsunami will hit if I do have onions!
No the bomb onions, will no drop. Onions! Check the box!
I can't say anything.
What's Spanish, Steven?
What? I'll get way too dirty. Sorry.
You're joking me right now, right?
Yes. No, I'm joking.
Yes. Steven, you okay?
Yes.
Everything fine. All right?
Yes.
Okay. Any comments on that?
No, sir. No comments.
No comments, right?
Feel free, Steven.
It's a conspiracy.
It is a conspiracy.
All right,
shove
Steven.
Shove those onions up your ass.
What?
If you like it so much, bend over.
I don't think Steven is doing these things as a personal affront to me. I don't think he's trying to get a rise out of me. He just is not paying attention.
I just don't care.
He doesn't view this work as important.
I just don't care.
Who would? I mean, yeah, this kid, who would care if you worked for a freaking psychotic like that?
You're working for free, probably.
It's like, hey, yeah. American Psycho, take the onions off the sandwich.
If he gave me an order of, specific things, I would get the opposite of everything. Just
right. I'd put like a dead rat in a sandwich. I didn't want a dead rat on my sandwich. Oh,
I wanted Coke, not pink lemonade.
Shasta, what is this shit?
I don't like those little cans.
It was a very special two Corys this week. Those two guys are inseparable, but
yeah, they could be inseparable.
Things
but
came to a head this week when
a big pussy head.
Basically, I guess I would say that Corey Haim is a child, and he's an asshole, and he's a slob, and he's staying in their home, and he's extremely messy, and. Corey Feldman doesn't really, he doesn't want to get too involved, like, dude, you got to clean up. He leaves it to his wife, who then pisses off Corey Haim. He's like, dude, your wife, she won't leave me alone. But at the same time, he is being an asshole. Like, he's painting in their kitchen, getting paint all over the floor. That would drive me nuts. Like, dude, you're getting paint everywhere. We got to clean this up immediately. But he's like, oh, dude, have a chill pill. I went, no, I don't think so. Why isn't the guy staying at a hotel, for Christ's sake?
Or an apartment or something.
Corey Haim, the only person left on Earth still using the term chill pill.
The funniest thing, though, is the guy who did My Date with Drew, who directed that movie. Do you remember that? It was like a documentary. Was it a faux documentary?
It was a documentary where he wanted to meet Drew Barrymore and have a date with her.
Right. Well, he's making a new film where people are waiting in line outside Best Buy for the new, like, PS4
console,
or something, the new Xbox 360, whatever. And the whole movie is about the people in line, the crazy characters, etc. And two of those guys he wants to be in the line are Corey Feldman, Corey Haim. So Corey...
Who wouldn't?
Corey Feldman can't just outright get rid of the guy because he needs him around for this movie, right?
Yeah.
Feldman doesn't really care about the movie, I guess,
right.
One way
Corey
or the
Haim
other.
Corey Haim is like, well, the Coreys are back, man. We got to do it. And I love...
Anything for a paycheck.
Feldman doesn't have to work. He has the birthday.
The director comes into the room, and he pitches them the movie, and he goes, I got my co-screenwriter on the phone. He's on speaker. So they listen to the entire pitch, and he goes, so what do you guys think? And there's a pause, and he goes, well, how much you paying me? When do I get paid? And then there's like this long pause, and he's like, I'm just kidding, man. And they're like, oh, it's like a tension, really, what would you say? They're like, is this dude
for
real?
It wasn't even a joke. Yeah, it was like.
He was being serious. When do I get my first check is what I want to know, because I majorly am in debt, okay?
It's like, dude, we're still writing this script. It's not done. It's
that check for independent scale is huge.
Yeah, first of all, the thing's probably going to be filmed on videotape, like My Date with Drew. So here's what happens. Corey Feldman's telling his wife that he's probably going to have to stick around to film this movie. And she's like, he can't stay here. I don't want him here. I can't handle it anymore. And he's listening to the door. And what does he do? He bursts in like, hey, I hear you talking about me. What the hell? And just listen to this clip. It just gets way out of hand, Bill. It's very upsetting.
Oh, no.
Why are you such a bitch?
Hey, watch it.
Hey, look.
What the
do not step to me, Corey.
You don't
call my wife a bitch. You want to step? You want to step? I will knock you out.
Hey,
you don't want to do this with me. Do you understand that?
It's not worth it.
You don't want to do this. You don't want to do it. I will kill you. We'll mess you
stop,
up.
Dude. Stop. Two stops.
And that's it. It's over, okay? You need to go. I need my time, and she definitely needs her time.
Man, I haven't seen something that intense since, like, the knife fight in The Abyss.
I thought it was going to...
war drums.
Thought there would be fisticuffs there.
Wow.
There's a step up, step up. And you don't want to. Step
I don't,
up.
You don't want
no.
none of this, kid.
I'm not sure if that was the season finale. What kind of guy tells his best friend, you don't want this, I'll knock you out. It's like, dude,
I'll kill
you. Yeah, he says, I will kill you. It's like, dude, you're in my house, I'm going to kill you, okay?
So stupid.
Yeah. It's all scripted, by the way. Now, a show that's not scripted, Big Brother 8. And, Bill, I got to be honest here. I have lost a lot of interest in the show.
This past week, it's been tough because there just wasn't anything interesting
going
on.
The only thing that happened was Erica and Jessica hooked up, right?
Erica and Jessica.
Erica and Jessica.
There was a lesbian relationship.
He decided to kiss her. At first, wasn't it America's Choice? Hey, kiss Jessica. And then it turned into them making out or something?
Yeah.
I have a clip here. Let's check it out. It's incredible.
Eventually, we're just not going to be able to resist each other. Outside of here, we probably would be actually married by now.
I know.
Aww, you're so cute
sweet.
Together.
So
wow,
I met a real
really
Eric sign.
Mm-hmm. And you love him.
I love him. And he's going to be my husband. Of
Whoa.
30 years.
Wow. I definitely see wedding bells in our future.
I'm going to turn the lights on.
Someone's clingy.
Okay. Now where's your face?
There it is. Can you see it? One more.
Oh my god! Jeez. They'll show anything on that show.
Where's your nice. Face? And then moaning, and then an explosion.
Wow. They blew the
feed. I wonder what happened there.
That was so
they
hot.
They blew the feed.
Yeah, they blew the feed. Oh,
oh
man.
God.
So then it winds up with who's going? Zach or Amber? Zach or Amber? Blah, blah, blah. They even did They did a nude food comp or something, didn't they, Bill?
That was like a week ago.
Yeah, I didn't even care. But let's see who gets eliminated from the show.
By a vote of 3-1, Amber, you are evicted from the Big Brother house. You've said that, quote unquote, the good people should stay in the house and make it to the final four.
Right.
How do you determine who's good and who's bad?
You know, based on how people play the game, if they're honest, if they lie, if they go around, you know, making deals, you know, telling people things that aren't the truth, just stuff like that. You
know, that's part
of the game,
right?
You know, being rude, just nasty negative energy that they send up in the house. You can tell a good person from a bad person in that aspect.
You've also said that what happens in the Big Brother house is in God's hands. Do you believe that he didn't want you to win?
Honestly, I don't believe that he didn't want me to win. I made a lot of mistakes in this game by evicting Nick.
You don't believe he didn't want you to win?
You know, but it's in God's hands. And I feel like, you know, I was on TV. I was shown into the world. I feel like there's something in this for me, whether it's me to be an inspirational speaker or go to nursing school. Something
inspirational speaker? You?
It's in the Bible.
Could you imagine going to see
Amber
the crying Jew hater from Big Brother 8?
I'm here to talk to you about your life and make everything better. No, I don't think so.
I'm going to teach you how to spot a Jew.
I'm here to talk to you about how right Adolf Hitler was.
Oh, my God. She would get fired so fast.
Did you see that they're not letting the press interview her?
No.
Every player that has left has appeared on the morning show and has talked to the Associated Press, and they're not letting anyone talk to her.
Wow.
So
the show is so, like, you know, not Dr. Will. He wasn't the puppet master. It's the producers of the show. They're so manipulative.
What's interesting, though, about this week is on Thursday, Zach, of all people, won head of household.
Right. The guy that everyone was like, he'll be next.
Yeah, that has done absolutely nothing for...
I would love for him to backdoor Dick. That just came out wrong.
Oh. there's a lot of people that love backdoor Dick.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Said Iraq everywhere like such as and...
Huh? All right, who wants to be a superhero? What is there to say about this episode?
If it involves that show, not me.
Now, Bill, an evil Stan Lee makes the contestants do things like take hats from people.
Sing and dance.
Sing and dance.
Stop traffic.
Ask if they have a wedgie.
How to fix a wedgie, a super wedgie.
And then ask somebody to write them a song.
Yeah.
And then steal an old woman's cane.
Yeah, let's go ahead and check this out and see who got eliminated.
Okay, Evil Stan, let's never do that again. Just keep them busy for a little while I prepare phase 2 of my evil plan.
Help that little girl cross the street.
All right. Hello, little girl. What's your name?
Genesis? Nice.
Now, take the cane and do a jig.
Can I borrow your cane for just 1 second?
Do a jig.
I'll be right back.
Do one of those gay jigs.
Put the cane on the trash can and walk away.
You got it.
Push that old lady in front of a bus.
The person leaving the lair tonight is...
Steal that candy from a baby.
Parthenon.
Oh! And it's over.
No onions, no onions. Check the box.
Huh? What does that even mean?
Weren't they stuck in a box for like
this first
episode? Yeah,
there
was. I was telling Steven this. There's a part where their task was Dr. Dark traps them in a box and they're trying to get out. And I was like, they've taken the whole episode to get out of this box, build a stick to pull the key over. It's just all filler. They've got no material for their show. And then it comes down to elimination. Stanley has to make stuff up, like. Remember when they talked
to
little
kids? Didn't like you.
They have to solve a riddle with little school kids. And Miss Hygiena, she really works with them. She's like a teacher. Parthenon, he's like, here, let me just solve it, you dumb kids. And he solved
What's wrong with you children? I'm so glad
you don't know anything.
You minorities. And then Hyperstrike.
You minorities.
He says, you know, I have an awkward name too. My last name is Stork, but it doesn't mean you're a bad person. Sometimes people pick something funny about yourself, but you can work past it. You know, he's trying to help him with confidence, but Stanley's like, superheroes don't give their last name. You're in danger of the children. An evil villain. It's like, oh, is Dr. Dark going to kill the kids or something?
Yeah,
get over yourself, Stanley.
He's always digging for some of the dumbest things.
Right, and then at the very end, they go through all this Parthenon's Unlimited, and then you see next week there's going to be a 50-foot Stan Lee attacking the city. Why are they even bothering with this crap?
Can you imagine how irritating that was for the kids to have to be told to react a certain way in the classroom when they're showing off their superpowers?
Yeah, like, there's like
my,
they're really
my hands, this crazy duster shoots green sparks and clean things up.
And Steven, weren't you saying Hyperstrike stole his powers from a Street Fighter game or something?
From Mortal Kombat.
No, he stole that from Ken and Ryan.
Haruken!
Street Fighter.
Haruken! But I don't know why I'm still watching it. It's painful. It's hard to get through. Basically,
it's getting really bad.
When we watch it, Steven, I have to be doing something else and looking over my shoulder at it. I'm working on the show while it's on.
On the sci-fi website, they split up the show into six parts. You have no idea how hard it is to actually continue clicking through all six parts.
Yeah.
It's like, do I really want to continue?
I'd rather watch Feedback's after show with the disappointed contestants.
I would rather watch Mega Snake over...
You know, we totally missed out on Mega Snake. We missed it.
You know, I forgot all about it.
I have it on my TiVo. I haven't watched it yet.
But you know what? The Rondu gave it a thumbs down.
Oh, no. Oh.
And if you look on Feedback's MySpace, he gave it a thumbs down, too.
I was telling Jason, I saw some show where they went with they're following, like, Major Victory around in Europe.
Is that on the Travel Channel?
I don't even remember where I saw it, but I mean...
Here I am in Buenos Aires.
Major Victory is constantly in uniform wherever he goes.
Wow. Hey, I would watch that.
Here I am in San Paulo.
Is it kind of like the Gordon Ramsay show where he's visiting restaurants across the world?
He's going around, I guess it's probably like Comic-Con type things where he's going and doing signings.
Oh, I gotcha.
And they did creatures going too, doing different things.
Great.
So it's like, looks terrible.
Tune in.
Where did you see this at?
I wish I could remember. I was watching.
You dreamt this, didn't you? This is a dream you had.
I swear, because I was just like, is this real?
It's just a dream.
And, you know, they had all these people outside the hotel where Major Victory was. You know,
shut up.
No, there were, I'd say there were probably about 15, 20 people maybe.
If anyone knows what the show is, please tell us, because I want to watch it instead of Who Wants to Be a Superhero. Now, let's quickly talk about Entourage, and then we're going to take a short break. This week on Entourage was all about getting to Cannes, but there's some kind of terrorist alert. And quickly, they got rid of Anna Faris off the show, didn't they?
Real quick, yeah, they wrote her off.
Billy Walsh, he wanted her to be in Silo, and she wasn't sure, and E didn't know what to tell her. But it didn't seem awkward. He was like, oh, Anna fired me. And it's like, oh, I guess her guest did on the show's over.
I was kind of wondering, did she really fire him, or is it, you know, a ploy he has to keep Billy from keeping on about her, getting her...
Dude, you're thinking way...
I understand.
Her guesting is over on the show, and they just had her fire him. I think that's all it was.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't on the show anymore. You know what I mean? Like, she just...
Well, I mean, she didn't have to be on the show. She could still be his client and never see him again,
right.
You know?
I don't know.
Anyways, it doesn't matter. But that I just kind of thought, well, it was an easy out. Wait... Hey, she fired me. We don't have to deal with her anymore.
The best part about the show is Ari and Lloyd, I'm still saying.
Yeah.
But what about another good part was Drama trying to make friends with a guy he thought was the terrorist so he wouldn't kill them. He's like, hey, bro, what's up? And this guy with the turban or whatever.
You going to Cannes? Yeah, we'll have dinner.
Hook me up. And he goes, when will I see you again? He goes, if it's meant to happen, it's meant to happen. What do you think it's going to happen? He's going to see the guy in Con.
He's got to be some producer or something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll get a job from him.
So they can't catch a plane with Sydney Pollack. They don't have enough people except Kanye West. He's got a jet.
Big old
and
shit.
All is well. I mean, this episode, eh.
It's absurd.
It was okay.
Like you said, it was Lloyd and Ari made this episode.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Next week, we'll see. It wasn't any big deal. What do you
say?
They
don't have much to work with.
Let's take a quick break, Bill, and then we'll come back with the news. And you've got some Pod Dangerous music for us, I see.
Mm-hmm. Play it.
All right, we'll play it, and we'll be right back, everybody. That was unprofessional, Steven.
Can't believe you.
It's not my fault. It's Bill's. Is the Bill back?
Yeah, I'm here.
He's hiding.
That was
hiding
all.
I'm sorry. I was just enjoying the English beat.
That was all Foggy's fault, by the way. He didn't tell me. He was supposed to do the and three and then do the fingers. Two, one, and then we're back. Why didn't he?
Because he's a tool.
What do you say, Bill, to make up for it? You do an incredible news segment.
I'll try my best.
Let's do the news!
I believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so.
I love that guy. I would buy an album with that on it.
Absolutely. I would listen to that every day just to get my mood elevated.
What the hell is he doing?
I think he and the rap guy from American Idol.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
That is the greatest scatting I've ever heard in my life. Well, it turns out that this week, Leona Helmsley, who died, has left $12 million to her dog.
Oh, God. What the hell? She didn't leave it to any human being, right?
Well,
not an orphanage.
No, of course not. Leona Helmsley, you know, she ran a bunch of real estate. I love that second little. So she ran this a bunch of real estate in New York. And she's was known for being the queen of mean.
Yes.
She also went to jail for for tax evasion?
Fraud, yeah.
A couple years. Yeah.
I thought she went to jail for having a lot of shoes.
That's Imelda Marcos.
Oh, okay, got it.
So it turns out the 14-page will was made public on Tuesday, and it turns out that. Yeah, she left $12 million for her dog, and no second part? It's to be cared for by her brother Alvin Rosenthal, who was also left $10 million. So the dog gets 12, he gets 10. That's fair.
And luckily, the dog is erecting a monument in her honor.
Yeah, I wonder how that works. I wonder if it's so legally binding that you can't get the $12 million from the dog. And what happens when the dog dies? Does the $12 million go with it?
Oh yeah, you're right. Oh man, I bet it gets like a crypt.
If I was this guy,
marble.
I'd be
big marble crypt.
That doesn't make sense.
That,
big marble bone headstone.
That repet in the third day pops up.
Yeah. Is that a six-day reference, Bill?
Yes.
Wow.
God, I've seen that way too many times.
Whoa.
Do it now!
Wow!
Two grandchildren of hers, David and Walter Penzier, will be left $5 million each as long as they visit their father's grave at least once a year.
Whoa, hey. I think they could work that out, don't you?
That's yeah. Doable.
And who's going to verify that? Just a bunch of... BS.
You gotta have a liaison.
You gotta go with a camera and a daily newspaper and get your pictures.
Yeah, that's the date.
She left her chauffeur $100,000. So yeah, I'd have been like, if I'm dragging your nasty ass around, I wouldn't. I'd expect a little more.
How much you get paid to be that dog's pooper scooper?
Yeah, they'd be getting paid at least 100 G's a year to chauffeur her.
Yeah.
So he only got, like, maybe a year's salary.
What I want to know is what lawyer... If I was a lawyer, I'd go, yeah, whatever, write in my name, boom, screw the dog.
Yeah, the will calls for the dog to be entombed alongside Helmsley and her husband, who died in 1997.
She really loved that dog.
Yeah, in their $1.4 million mausoleum, for which Leona Helmsley She set aside $3 million for the upkeep, including annual steam cleanings. That is probably the cleanest gravesite ever.
She really thought ahead.
She sure
has
did.
Maids. And she has maids in the afterlife.
And may she burn in hell.
Yeah. And it's as much of her estimated $4 billion fortune is tied up in the Helmsley Enterprises, which will be controlled by 5 people. And other proceeds from the sale of her estate are destined for a charitable trust, which she must have did just to piss off the family members that didn't get anything.
Wow.
So, you know, we were talking about the two Corys earlier, and I think, you know, they
lovely
have
fellas.
Some advice for the younger people. They say that the pattern that they went through seems to repeat itself every time a young celebrity bursts into the limelight. They said, I think that anybody who's got what appears to be a gold-paved road is going to find that they're going to have problems later in life because life doesn't work that way. Wow, that is just – that's amazing. That's I couldn't have put it any better. I don't think everybody
needs to
get –
wisdom from the Corys.
Yeah, I mean true wisdom, like Confucius-type wisdom. I don't think everybody needs to get slammed down as hard as I did, but if you're famous and young, I think that you're going to have to run into some walls along the way, said Corey.
Because some people out there in our nation don't have that.
Yeah, everybody wants to point the finger. Brittany this, Lindsay that. These damn kids, they're too much, too fast. It's their problem. Well, it's not their problem. It's society's problem.
It's a more serious problem than we thought.
Yeah, with these kids not...
No, it's Hollywood's problem. We don't give a shit in the rest of the United States. All right, Corey.
I mean, what an excuse. It's society. These kids not only... Are we throwing them under the spotlight, but we're pointing fingers and laughing? That's society's shame for doing such a thing. That's wrong. You're an idiot.
Have I written you a death threat yet today?
Somebody needs to. In Chicago, a man was caught driving naked.
Get out.
Is that illegal?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Damn, I guess they're putting on clothes.
Or, I'm sorry, it's a Chicago man caught driving naked in Indiana. I didn't quite get that.
Oh, wrong state.
Now
okay.
The story makes
sense. It's okay
sense.
In your home state.
Yeah, man. those idiots.
But not those foreigners. They don't come into our town driving naked.
Indiana State Police arrested a naked man who was driving on the Indiana toll road saying...
Very nice boobs. You know, there she is, topless. So she's topless, but she was completely topless.
It's a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, but a guy can be topless. You know, man boobs.
Oh, that is
boobs.
True.
Trooper Al Martinez says the man
was nude corrected.
And had petroleum jelly on his hands.
Less for the car engines.
Pulled over about 10 miles west of the Ohio state line on Wednesday. The man told Martinez he was traveling to Ohio to visit his mother, and he said he was comfortable driving in the nude.
Maybe he was just giving his car a lube job.
Yeah, maybe he just needs that tie, that, you know, the wheel, the steering wheel to be a little, you know, loose in his hands.
Pleasuring himself.
Other motorists had called police about the driver with several calls from truckers who could see into the front seat of the SUV. Martinez.
Hey, Rubber Ducky here. We got a new guy with petroleum jelly driving down the road.
We got one of them naturalists here.
Naturalists?
Naturalists. Martinez made the man put his clothes back on before he handcuffed him. Thank God.
He's driving all natural.
Oh, shit. I just shot Diet Coke out my nose. Why does that have to happen once every episode? Thanks.
Sorry, Bill.
I gotta pick my times to take a drink. God. It burns, man.
It burns.
It burns. Cars have smashed up a guy's home for the 10th time in Berlin. A German man said Thursday he feared he may have built his own tomb after a vehicle plowed into his house for the 10th time. If we stay, someone's eventually going to kill us. We're living in a time bomb. Manfred Settelzak, 59, told Reuters. Settelzak is reluctant to leave the house he built himself, which is on a bend of a busy road, but said it may be his only chance of survival. Earlier this week, a 40-ton truck blasted through the side of the red brick house in northern Germany. Settelzik said he returned home from shopping to find the shattered vehicle sticking out of his living room. Police estimate the damage at more than $136,000. 9 previous smashes into the two-story building caused damage worth tens of thousands of euros. So this guy... I mean, I wonder how much money he spent repairing the side of his house.
It's like, how many...
You're joking me right now, right?
Yeah. How many times does it take? Is the 10th the breaking point, or do
when
you
does
just...
the insurance stop covering it, you know?
Yeah.
This guy again.
At what point do they go, you know what, we'll buy you out so that you can just find another house? No, but I really like this house. I built it myself. Idiot. This is out of Maryland. A flashlight assault gets a Gaithersburg man an attempted murder charge.
Wow, flashlight assault.
Yeah, nothing like one of those nice big black mag lights.
Where are you guys dumb?
Smacking you in the head. Gaithersburg woman was hospitalized early Sunday after an argument with her boyfriend where he allegedly beat her in the head with a flashlight.
Oh, my God.
Lenin Enrique Martinez, 19 of the 100 block of Sloop Court in Gaithersburg, was charged with attempted second-degree murder and first- and second-degree assault, according to the police charging the documents filed in Montgomery County District Court. They arrived at 1 a.m. in the 600 block of Coral Reef Drive for the report of shots fired, but instead found a man with a bloody shirt running home with two people chasing him, the documents state. They also found a nearly unconscious woman lying nearby in a pool of blood. After police gave chase, the man stopped and dropped the metal flashlight and reportedly later said to an arresting officer that he hopes she dies. Holy cow.
Wow.
No remorse.
The woman was taken to suburban hospital in Bethesda. Her condition was unavailable, but she is recuperating with non-life-threatening injuries. So you know what? If you have a psycho boyfriend, keep those gigantic mag lights away from them. Because they'll beat
Steven
you in the head.
Steven!
Steven's been known for that. I've heard about that.
Steven. Put that flashlight down!
I can't help it!
That was a great story,
I
Bill.
I go through a dozen mag lights a year.
Well, you know, I had to read it because I know about Steven and his mag light beating obsession. So
easy.
Kind of an intervention.
Oh, I gotcha.
And give that's news for this week. Don't
give him the stick.
Give him the stick.
Don't give him the stick.
Don't give him the stick. And that's news for this week. We'll wrap it up on the violent story.
All right.
But no one died.
Oh, no one died, though. That's good.
No one died.
But we wish he had.
Yes.
It's what he said. It's what he said, not us.
Yeah, that's what Steven said.
Yes. All right, Bill. Well, thank you for doing the news this week. What do you say we get into some digital versatile discs or digital video discs?
No, versatile's right.
Or it could be video if you wanted to, couldn't it?
Could be.
Yeah.
Let's do the DVDs. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Let's do them. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs. DVDs. DVDs.
HD Blu-ray is in the definition.
DVDs.
Oh, hell yeah. The DVDs, everybody. Woo.
Ding, bam, do, ding, dum, ding, ding, zoom, ding, 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 you know what I'm saying?
Huh?
What we gotta be going, do it, you got it down, I'm doing it, we gotta go, we gotta blow, we gotta do the show, we gotta make this place blow up and down.
Yeah,
go.
We're gonna, you know, blow, you guys.
Yeah, we got it down, we gotta blow up, and we gotta win, we gotta do this stuff,
okay.
And be in the dish, you know,
okay.
What I'm saying?
Ooh. No, I don't know what you're saying!
Yeah.
No one does!
Let's blow and go.
We gotta go,
let's
guys.
Blow and go.
We gotta go, we gotta win. We got to spin and start
out. All right. Shout out to the people in our chat room. We love you. Much love. And we're going a little over tonight. And if we get cut off, it's because, hey, we just love doing the show and we're doing it too long. But thank you for listening. Now, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
All right. Let's start out with 30 Rock Season 1 on DVD. We get commentaries from Alec Baldwin, Tina Fey, Tracy Morgan, and Jack McBrayer on, I'm not sure if it's on each episode.
You're a pig. You disgust me.
Yes. So I was never really a huge fan of this show, but what I've seen of it was funny.
You know what? It won me over. I love the Kenny guy, the Page, NBC Page. That guy cracks me up. And I think Alec Baldwin's the best part of the show. He's great. The one episode where they had Isabella Rossellini on the show was great.
His yeah, ex. That was good. Next DVD is the short-lived The Black Donnellys.
Yes.
And I love it's The Black Donnellys, the complete series.
You're joking me right now, right?
You know
it's
what?
Like
that
what?
Show, they're showing the rest of the season right now on HDNet, Bill, and I'm TiVoing it, and it is a great show. It's entertaining.
I liked it when it was on.
Yeah, the three-disc set includes 13 episodes, including 7 episodes that were never aired.
Right. Yeah, and I'm watching them right now. What? Man, those Black Donnellys are crazy.
You know, I didn't even get a chance to watch it. You know, it was canceled so soon.
Yeah, I didn't give it much of a chance.
I TiVo'd the first episode, and then I find out that it's canceled, and then I just deleted it because why get into a show
but
that...
But you know what? Right. It's canceled. A hard sell for primetime NBC. It's a show about these kids who are tough kids who, you know, they extort money from people and stuff. You pitch it to HBO or Showtime or something.
Yeah.
Not NBC primetime.
I think NBC tries to, you know, be...
Yeah, it's a Paul Haggis show. He won the Oscar. They're like, hey, we got Paul Haggis. Hey, would you like to do a show on NBC? And he's like, sure, I got this show about teen gangsters who kill people. Hey, yeah, not really our bag, but okay, you won an Oscar. Let's try it out.
Yeah, and if it's written by a person that's clear of thetans, then, you know, it's worth it.
Really? Is Paul Haggis a Scientologist, Bill?
Better believe it.
Wow.
Yeah, he goes to... He goes to Mindspace or whatever that place was in Bowfinger.
But we're just Scientologists.
I had no idea.
Yep.
I'd like you to consider Scientology.
I think he has. Next DVD is Bosom Buddies, the complete series.
Yes.
Kip and Henry. I love those guys. Wendy Jo Sperber.
Yes.
Great show.
Dead.
Donna.
And you're forgetting the most important person, Peter Scolari.
Yeah.
It'd be asinine to think otherwise.
Peter Scolari is the man. He was on the great, also on the great Honey, I Shrunk the Kids television series.
Yeah. Nothing like replacing Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis says, wow. No, you want the job? Yeah.
I can fill in for Rick.
You know what? I love Bosom Buddies. That's a show I watch as a kid over and over, no matter how many reruns. It just had...
You just love the beginning when they're dressing up. You know, he's got that half dress on with the...
It was a great opening
cream
sequence.
On, and he's doing the chest exercise.
The great Billy Joel cover. Am I right, Bill?
And I never understood that horrible Billy Joel cover.
I could be wrong. Don't get me wrong.
You could be. Yes, I think that's exactly
but
the
not
word.
On my time. Yada dee da da do da da da.
Zip stupidity do boop boop a do. We gotta go. Ding bam do ding dum ding ding zong ding ding ding. He dropped the bomb, yo.
Yes, he did. You know what I'm saying?
Next DVD is a really fun Korean film that I saw last year called The City of Violence. This thing
sounds
is
violent.
What?
Sounds violent.
Well, yeah, it is violent. it's about a pair of high school friends that reunite after the murder of one of their brothers, and then they figure out that their old high school friends are actually involved in this murder, and then these two guys just go freaking ape shit and just beat the living crap out of everyone. And it's the ending scene is a lot like Kill Bill, where they go to a restaurant and they have to fight just through this gigantic wall of guys.
Is it like in Old Boy with the hammer, that scene?
It's sort of like it, yeah, but that scene in Old Boy is kind of unique.
You know what? You've sold me. That sounds kick ass.
City of Violence is a lot of fun, but I mean it's obviously an homage to Quentin Tarantino. There's a lot of Tarantino-esque stuff in it, but it's a really fun movie. I'll have to copy it for you.
Sweet.
Next DVD is Delta Farce, the blue collar comedy boys coming out with a with an excellent film.
Take the cane and do a jig.
Yeah, and it's kind of annoying to see Keith David in such garbage. It's like, dude.
He's like, I'm going to add a new wing to my house, so I need to take a job immediately.
Yeah, and you would expect DJ Qualls to be in something like this, though.
That guy's a genius.
What was that movie he did with Alicia Dushku?
The Wrong Guy. No, The New Guy.
The New Guy?
I own that on DVD.
Yeah, and I wonder why. Is there
a... You look like assholes right now, man.
Because I'm a huge DJ Qualls fan.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And Dougie Doug. Or, no, what's the black guy's name in that? I don't know.
Dougie Doug.
I don't think he's in that. I thought he was. That's why I bought it. There's no Dougie Doug in this. Damn it!
Oh, man. I really like that guy.
What a ripoff!
I love Dougie Doug.
Have you ever seen the show Dirty Jobs on Discovery Channel?
I've heard of it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's where a guy goes and does quite possibly the worst jobs you could ever think of. And they're releasing a collection of 21 of the dirtiest, funniest, most adventurous jobs. And I actually enjoyed it. I'll probably rent this because I miss it a lot, but what I see of it, I like. The guy's kind of funny, and it's a good show.
Yeah, I saw a bit of one last night where they're testing alligator, little baby alligators for West Nile, and the handler doesn't hold the alligator right. I mean, it's about a 3-foot one, and the tail whips and cracks him right in the nuts.
Hey, that's always fun. All you need is someone getting kicked or slapped or punched in the nuts, and it's a...
It hits, like
the cameraman's like down real low, and the head of it swings and towards the cameraman. The tail swings and hits him, and he's like, seeing he's bent over, you know.
You're joking me right now, right?
No, I'm not joking. It really happened.
Next DVD is a really good horror film. It's from the guy that directed the movie that just came out here in the States within the past few months called The Descent.
I thought it was called The Decent.
The Decent. Yes, it's about a group of decent women that go spelunking.
Why are you such a bitch?
This is about the female spelunkers who get killed by monsters.
Yeah, The Descent is. But his first film, which is coming out on DVD, is called Dog Soldiers. And it's about a group of soldiers that are go to these war games in the woods. And then they come across a team that's been slaughtered. And it turns out that the team that's been slaughtered was slaughtered by werewolves. And hilarity ensues. But I really, really like that movie. I recommend it to anybody who's a horror fan. Dog Soldiers.
Does it have cool gunplay action, that kind of thing?
No, I'm sorry, it doesn't. It's kind of your basic horror film. Next DVD is Georgia Rule with Lindsay Lohan.
Oh.
And I know
Andy... Was
she on
Blow during this movie?
Allegedly.
Yeah, probably. And I know Andy really likes Lindsay Lohan. So, Andy, this one's for you. And it's not bad. It's got Jane Fonda in it, too. Good old Hanoi Jane.
I'm going to milk it.
Hanoi Jane.
Next DVD is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, seasons 1 and 2. I never watched this show.
It was painful. It was horrible to watch. It was never funny. That I saw a couple episodes and I'm just like, just stop watching it because it never made me laugh.
I've got it all season passed right now.
Ann Archer's in that show. That's another Scientologist. It's Scientologist DVD time. Next,
it's a rumor that she's a Scientologist.
Yeah, be true. Next DVD is Night on Earth. It's a Jim Jarmusch film.
Ooh, Jim Jarmusch. I really like him. He's got funny gray hair.
And
I'm a film student.
Looks like a thunderhead on his head.
I don't think Steven is doing these things as a personal affront to me. I don't think he's trying to get a rise out of me. He just is not paying attention.
Oh, this is Jim Jarmusch.
He doesn't
right
view
now.
This work as important.
I don't view his work as important.
But if anybody's seen Night on Earth, you know it's 5 different cities, 5 different taxi cabs, and it's people acting like they're actually taxi
and
cab
Tom drivers. Waits does the soundtrack.
Shocking.
Yeah, great. Why is Tom Waits a singer? What is appealing? Yeah, you're doing it, Steven. That's what he does.
Like, it's like he wants to be Leonard Cohen, but he can't quite get the voice down right.
I know. I mean,
he wants to be a bluesy Leonard Cohen.
I think the only Tom Waits song I ever liked was Jersey Girl, and that was the one he did the least blah, blah, blah for.
I like him as an actor, not as a singer.
Yeah, he was great in Mystery Men. I liked that character he played in that.
Yeah, he was the Dr. Hiller. Pacifist weapons. What was it?
Yeah, he was
weapons
like,
that didn't harm people.
Dr. Heller.
He was
Hiller?
Q.
Yeah, Dr. Heller.
The Office Season 3 in, of course, the American series.
Doctor Who! Hey, Doctor Who!
Yeah.
Now, Bill, Doctor Who, are you a Whovian?
I'm a Beovian.
What's that?
Steven gets it.
Yeah.
The Kanan, do a jig.
Reptilian, Beovian. Next DVD, Robot Chicken Season 2.
You know what? I TiVo'd the entire second season of Robot Chicken, deleted all of them, didn't watch a single one. They even did the Star Wars thing, and I was like, eh, lost its appeal to me. I'm a snob.
What's cool about this is, though, you know, I guess because they have the time, they're only like 15-minute shows, they have a commentary track on all 20 episodes.
That is cool. Probably only took them 15 minutes to do it, though, right?
Yeah, probably.
Well, yeah, you gotta think, even with commercials, they're not even 15 minutes.
Right.
No. Next DVD is She-Ra, Princess of Power, Season 2. And I actually watched this because I watched He-Man, of course.
Hello.
You couldn't have He-Man without She-Ra or Orko.
Yeah, what was She-Ra? It's marketing ploy. The boardroom is like, He-Man appeals to boys. What about girls? I know. She-Man. She-Ra. Yeah, She-Ra. That's it.
Yeah, right.
When I was a kid, I had a sister that was a year older than me. So, of course, I had to watch the girly shows. I remember having to watch She-Ra and Jem. Jem and the, God, what was that band? It was horrible. Jem. Thanks. Next DVD is, Space Mutiny. The film that Mystery Science Theater 3000 made fun of in one of its funniest episodes.
You're right. Great episode. But this is the movie without them making fun of it?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. This is the movie that actually used recycled clips from Battlestar Galactica, the original 70s series.
Wow.
Like in their space battles, they would use the clips from that show. So they're talking about a space mutiny, and all of a sudden you see a bunch of Cylon ships and the ships from Battlestar Galactica flying around.
What my favorite part is, they do a chase like on those airport carts. They're like,
yeah,
shooting each other
in the main guy,
the Budweiser brewery or something.
The main bad guy's name in it is Calgon.
Yeah.
So during the Mystery Science Theater 3000 thing, they keep going, Calgon, take me away.
Yeah. It's great. I have it. Bill sent it to me. See, we got to watch it sometime.
Yeah, it is absolutely hilarious.
You're joking me right now, right?
There's this big, bulky, muscular guy in it that they're always
making. It's the same guy who played Captain America on the made-for-TV Captain America show. That was bad.
And supposedly he's in love with a woman that's like three times his age. and she wears these hot pants. It's just,
you know what? We've got to post the... When I do the show notes, we got to post the link on YouTube of Space Mutiny that MST3K did.
Yeah, it is hilarious. Next DVD is Up in Smoke, Special Collector's Edition.
Oh,
Cheech and Chong.
Cheech and Chong. Wow. You know, are there other films on DVD yet?
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
And I guess they don't do commentaries because they don't talk anymore. Do they?
Well, allegedly they were talking about doing another Cheech and Chong movie.
Yeah, but then Tommy Chong got arrested.
Yeah, pretty bad. Was he? He was running a head shop or something.
Yeah, and he sold. He sold tobacco smoking pipes across state lines.
Tobacco smoking pipes.
Yeah, that always cracks me up when you go into a head shop and it says these are for tobacco use only. It's like, are you? What? Who are you kidding?
Yeah.
Like, I want that.
I want that 4-foot water pipe.
Far out, man.
I want that acrylic, like, blue 10-foot bong that somebody else needs to light while I'm on the other side of the room.
Far out.
That's perfect. Perfect. Next DVD and last is a really great film that I saw 2 years ago. It's called The Wind That Shakes the Barley. It has Cillian Murphy, directed by Kent Loach.
Isn't that Cillian Murphy?
Cillian, sorry.
No, I think it's Cillian.
Is it Cillian?
It's Cillian, but it's not with a K. It's with a C because
like,
his
like
parents...
Cillian's Red? Like the beer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cillian... it's basically about the creation of the Irish Republican Army.
This movie, I remember seeing reviews of it, and it looks really good, but they said it's heart-wrenching because it's brother against brother.
Yeah, it is. It is.
First they set up what, you know, they're tight, close-knit people, but then you see how politics of their country separate them, and they're trying to kill each other. So,
yeah, and what's sad about it is that they, you know... they finally reach the point where there's a treaty and everybody's happy, and then people get into other people's heads, and all of a sudden a civil war erupts within them, and
right.
It just, you know, families fighting families, and it's an excellent film. It really is.
We couldn't have that now, could we?
It's like that movie Michael Collins. Remember when they finally made a treaty, there were people that were pissed that he made a treaty because they want to fight. And then they turn against each other. They always turn against each other in the history of that country, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the, I think it's the same story.
It is. Oh, is it? Michael Collins?
Yeah.
Wow, I had no idea. I couldn't sit through that double feature.
Well, you could make it a triple feature and put Paul Greengrass's Bloody Sunday on that list. There's another one that...
Wow. Yeah. It's just... by the third film, you're like, I got no tears left.
I don't want to go to Ireland. Please don't make me go. And that's DVDs for this week, which is September 3rd. Or September 4th, sorry, 2007.
I'm squirting your butt with a water hose.
Easy.
What?
Yay.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
And the news.
Yeah, and the news. A double whammy, as it were, Stephen.
Yeah, we only went 15 minutes over. Sorry, Talk Radio X.
Thank you.
Hey,
good
it's
night.
No problem. Okay. We got the content, more. Right? Thank you. All right, everybody, that was episode 91 of Nowhere in Mulberry live on Talk Radio X. That is right. Thank you for joining us this evening. We had a lot of fun. Yes, thank you. If you would like to leave us any feedback, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail like Eugene, Rick, and Swiley did, call 1206-202-3491. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com where you'll find links to our chat room, nimchat.com, to our forum on thehollywoodsaloon.com, and also Mulberry Old School, every episode of Nowhere in Mulberry. There you'll also find links to our entire history of sandwiches. That's right. I'm just checking to see if you're awake.
Sandwiches.
I love sandwiches. Don't you, Miss Carolina?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so.
They don't know
because
how to make
they
sandwiches.
Eat large sandwiches.
They're so used to fast food. This country doesn't know how to make sandwiches anymore. It's
yes,
criminal.
We all think Subway makes them for us.
Yes. Subway. That damn Jared. He's a communist.
I love those sandwich artists.
They're very talented, Stephen. I wouldn't make fun of them.
I love them. I love the sandwich artists.
Oh, I'm sorry. I love.
Do they
too.
Really call them sandwich artists still?
I don't know.
They are artists.
They are.
I will
when
never let it go.
When I go to a
go.
Subway, usually
that?
It's three teenagers who are talking to each other who can't take the time to look over and see I'm waiting to have be helped. Yeah. Excuse me, could you bust up your little circle jerk
the
there
art
and help
school.
Me?
They're all the little art school kids. You know, got the big nose rings.
I really hope they're not having a circle jerk.
For lack of a better term is what I mean. Yeah. You know what I'm... Yeah.
Yeah, I'd walk in and go,
You're joking right now, right?
I'll have the seafood sub.
No onions. No onions. Check the box.
Yeah, make sure there's no onions on your sandwich. Sandwich
or
artist.
Jism.
Huh? What was that, Bill?
I said or jism.
No, I didn't really want. I didn't really want you to say it again.
You know.
Huh?
I know. Well, you know.
Yes. We do know. Right.
I think we know.
Now, Bill, thank you for your Pod Dangerous music selections. Would you like to tell our audience what they were?
What is that English beat song called?
It's a Ferris Bueller song.
Yeah, the Ferris Bueller song. Oh, oops, sorry, Heather. Didn't know your father was listening. Oh, man.
Good job, Bill. And just
try so hard not to be blue this episode.
And, Bill, your punishment is this.
Oh, no!
The bug are loose. The bug are loose. No. In the air and everywhere. Flying high. Flying loose. Flying free as a summer breeze. Happy as a summer breeze.
They're happy as a summer breeze. Is that a kazoo?
Yes.
You gotta love any song that plays a kazoo.
The bug are loose. The bug are loose. We're in the air and everywhere.
Yes, or in the air and everywhere, including in your paranoid delusions.
Why are you such a bitch?
I'm going to have nightmares. Freaking
yeah, just so people know, before the show starts, we're waiting for a countdown when we go on the air. So I play test music that when Radio Dan hears the music, he knows we're on, and then I start the intro. So we had false alarms several times. We listened to the Bugaloo's theme about six times in a row.
Seemed like forever.
And we thought we were going to lose Bill there for a second. It was really scary. He had the gun in his hand.
Yes, I did. I can't take it anymore.
The Bugaloos. Not
Bill, just hold on. It's okay. It's okay.
The Bugaloos.
Bill! Sid and Marty Croft were geniuses, were they not?
They were Satan worshippers.
I think they were. You know what? I'm really upset
Alistair
with Foggy.
Crowley was their idol.
I'm really upset with Foggy. Okay. Well, thanks for that.
Yeah, like a little dead air.
Foggy. For Foggy.
I was waiting. I'm really upset with you, Stephen.
With me? Why?
I don't think Steven is doing these things as a personal affront.
Thank you, Foggy.
I don't think he's trying to get a rise out of me. He just is not paying attention. He doesn't view this work as important.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And before we go, everybody, this is dedicated to the ones I love.
We gotta be going. Do it. Got it down. I'm doing it. We gotta go. We gotta blow. We gotta do the show.
We gotta
make
it blow.
Blow up and down.
Gotta get down. I'm doing it.
Yeah. We got it down. We gotta blow it up. And we gotta win. We gotta do this stuff and D and D. You know what I'm saying? Woo!
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I'd like to have seen that.
We got it going, guys. Next time.
All right, everybody. See you next week, next Friday. Talk Radio X. We love you. Listen live. And we want people to call into the show when we figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to talk to Steve in the Pop Culture Zealot?
Ask me.
Wouldn't you love to talk to Bill, the Mulberry historian?
What about Jason? Ask the Jaystrom a question.
No one wants to talk to him.
All right, bye, guys.
Take the cane and do a jig.
Now this is podcasting.